You're listening to CITR FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And it's time now for the Night War, the Human Serviette Radio Show. And who do we have in the studio today?
That would be me.
Who are you?
My name is A.O. Trapman.
Ayo, what are you doing here?
Well, I've known you for a while now, and I'd like to say it's a pleasure to be on your show today. And we did...
Well, thank you for coming in, A.O. Chapman.
Yeah, I write for Discord occasionally. I'm the promotions director here at CITR.
What does A.O. stand for?
That would be Aaron, and then a very hard-to-pronounce Irish name that begins with O. O apostrophe.
And you're also excited because you just recently did an interview.
Yes, with Harlan Ellison, the famed science fiction writer, which the Washington Post calls one of the greatest living American short story writers. And
you were doing this interview the other day.
Yes, the other day. This was a few days ago, and I was mentioning it to you as I was setting up for the thing, and I asked if you would like to partake.
I just thought I'd sit in and sort of participate for fun at occasional intervals during this interview.
Right.
But this was you interviewing Harlan Ellis.
That's Harlan Ellison. That's right.
Now, why would anybody want to care A.O. about Harlan Ellison?
Well, I had heard a lot about him. I had heard that he was a fairly arrogant guy, and he had sued a lot of.
So you just wanted to interview him because he was arrogant. That's all.
That's the core of the argument, yeah.
But what is his claim to fame?
Well, he's...
Why would somebody care?
He's written a lot of science fiction stories. He wrote, if you might remember, the Star Trek episode that had Joan Collins
in it. Best Star Trek episode.
Yeah, that was called one of the best Star Trek episodes.
What was that episode called? Did you actually ever see that episode of Star Trek?
Yes, I did. That was called City on the Edge of Forever.
Did you ever read any of his books, A.O.?
I read a little bit of Dangerous Visions. I'm not really a fan of his books because I don't really... I'm not a devotee, you might say.
But what does the Washington Post call Harlan Ellison?
The Washington Post calls Harlan Ellison one of the great living American short story writers. And he's coming to town for this book tour.
And you were all excited.
That's right. I was very
And you wanted to do an interview.
I wanted to do an interview, so I called up the promoter and
then you did when you were at CITR, and I just sort of was in there. Sorry,
yeah,
I was in the room.
No, you were in there, and I take responsibility for whatever happened after that.
And we have this interview on tape you've brought by.
That's right.
So this is you, A.O. Chapman, and me, Nardwuar the Human Serviette, just sort of on the side there. Sorry, did I ruin the interview,
A.O.?
No,
you didn't at all. I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun with it, and I'm glad you were there.
What is some background information that people might want to know about this interview, A.O.? Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, not really anything else than that, aside from the fact that some people were upset with the interview, and we're sort of here to play it, so, you know... You can out there can decide for yourselves, I guess.
But this was you, A.O., all
me,
excited
right.
to do Harlan Ellison, the same guy that, like, everybody knows.
Yeah,
and he's really, really smart. He's really, really articulate. He wrote that Star Trek episode, so even idiots like me will want to like him because I love that Star Trek episode.
That's right, yeah. He wrote some Outer Limits episodes as well, apparently. I just recently heard that.
He did?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. A couple Outer Limits episode. I'm not sure which ones, though.
And what is he going to be doing in Vancouver, and where is he going to be in Vancouver?
He's going to be at the Robson Square Conference Center on May 24th. May 24th. And I guess he's going to... We asked him about it in the interview.
But you sound a lot like you're promoting a gig, but you have nothing to do with it.
I have no affiliation with it whatsoever.
Are you even going to go?
Probably not, because I probably will not be let in. He'll probably have his armed guards with him to see if both of us are not there. After
How much are tickets?
Probably an ungodly price. $20. $20, that's what they call it.
To go see Harlan Ellison. Well, thank you very much for A.O. for coming by the Nardwuar Show and bringing the sound clip it when we recorded in the other room the other day. That's A.O. Chapman, the voice. What voice will you hear?
What you will hear my voice, you will hear your...
What does your voice sound like, A.O. Chapman?
This is what my voice sounds like.
And you'll hear my voice occasionally just sort of spurting in there. And
yeah,
you'll
hear, little comment.
Maybe we should qualify about that one incident. There's something that comes up and we have to phone him back. There actually is a lapse of 15 minutes.
That's
We've
right.
edited that together.
And it is actually 15 minutes. I know there is some debate on behalf of Mr. Ellison's handlers that it was not 15 minutes. And yes, indeed, it was. We gave plenty of time. He asked for 15 minutes, and that's what we gave him.
So without further ado, A.O.?
Yes.
A.O.,
yes.
Without further ado, here is Harlan Ellison and A.O. Chapman with a bit of contributions from Nardwuar the Human Serviette, live from Nardwuar the Human Serviette land, CITR, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Okay, A.O., doot-doot-loot-doot.
Doot-doot.
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Ellison.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is CITR from Vancouver, BC.
Hello there.
Yeah, sorry. A bit of I didn't mean to rush you the previous time there.
No, it's all right. It's the middle of the day, and they're driving me up the wall. Various calls.
Why are they driving you up the wall?
Are we recording or are we just chatting?
Oh, well, I guess we're beginning the interview now, yeah. That's a bit of a chat.
No, we were just wondering why they were driving you up the wall.
Well, first of all, we must consolidate the term they. They meaning the insensate forces of the universe that are out there every day driving jackhammers into everyone's brain. Whether it's the government or people from Vancouver calling me for idiotic interviews in the middle of the day, there's that old quote from Edna St. Vincent Millay. She said, "It's not true that life is one damn thing after another. It's one damn thing over and over and over and over."
But Vancouver's a great town. It's home of Spider Robinson.
What is the greatness of Vancouver got to do with some of the people who live in it? Are you trying to tell me that everyone who lives in a certain place is a wonderful human being? By that token, everyone in Los Angeles would be wonderful, but as we know,
true.
They're not.
Yeah, how has it been down there recently? Have you been able to get to work with any degree of difficulty or anything?
Gee, I don't know. Has something been going on? No, I mustn't play with you.
Do you know Spider Robinson?
Of course I know Spider Robinson. Doesn't everyone know Spider Robinson?
No, not everybody. Do you know George Bowring?
Who?
Canadian poet.
No, I don't.
He's my next-door neighbor. That's the only reason why I asked.
Now you embarrass me, because I take this inordinate pride in knowing virtually everybody in every language who writes well, and when I don't know a name, it may
you're
be that I don't
now.
Know
we've
it by pronunciation.
We've embarrassed you on citywide radio now.
Well, it may be that I don't know it by that pronunciation. It's like until I was about 14 years old, I thought the word bonanza was banana.
Really?
I didn't know.
Were you a big fan of westerns or anything?
Well, oddly enough, there was a Gene Autry movie called The Big Bonanza, and played at the Lake Theater in Painesville, Ohio, when I was a kid. And I didn't know the word bonanza, so I thought it was about a big banana. I went to see the movie. I was totally confused, and there was no foodstuffs in it at all.
Do you know that Peter Breck from the Big Valley lives in Vancouver?
Does he really?
Yeah, he does.
I always admired his hair. It was like patent leather.
It's still exactly the same.
Exactly.
He has a Breck Academy. He can teach people now. You can come to Vancouver and learn from Peter Breck.
What, acting?
Yeah, he has his own school.
Well, golly. what can I say? I is awestruck.
Spider Robinson and Peter Breck.
Peter Breck.
Vancouver is the home of Yvonne DiCarlo of the Munsters.
As a matter of fact, I saw Yvonne DiCarlo in a movie just last night.
Really?
I was running a cassette of that dreadful Sylvester Stallone movie, Oscar, and there was Yvonne DiCarlo. Older, much, 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 much older, and
really?
And with much more avant-garde than I had remembered.
Yeah.
And she was Aunt Edna or something like that, and I thought to myself, this was the Yvonne DiCarlo over whom I lusted many a Saturday afternoon in my youth.
Apparently, I remember seeing on Letterman that Tony Curtis telling a story about how he boffed Yvonne DiCarlo. Do you remember ever seeing that?
No.
It was a very funny story.
I'm about to be embarrassed again. I have only watched Johnny Carson once in my entire life.
Oh, Letterman. This was Letterman.
Letterman. I've never watched.
Never watched him.
Never watched him.
Do you watch much television? Because I seem to remember you were on a car commercial a few years ago.
One has nothing to do with the other, but I watch a fair amount because it's one of the cultural mediums, and I like to figure that I'm au courant, and I watch as much as I can stomach, but my tolerance for it grows shorter and shorter as I grow older and older.
Yeah. But you did do that car commercial, am I right?
I did, in fact, do a commercial for Geo. Yes,
that's
I did.
That's right, yeah.
I, in fact, drive a Geo.
Really?
So,
unlike a lot of other people, you do actually support, you actually use the product.
Oh, it's a dynamite car. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I love any car that gives me 47 miles to the gallon.
Right.
Or is it 52 or 57? Something like 52,
yeah,
57.
Some incredible amount
of mileage like that.
Yeah.
I'm not big on cars as sex
objects. You just like the throaty exhaust and...
Oh, sorry?
You just like the throaty exhaust of a vehicle and the rush of driving, though. That's what every man loves.
One of us has got to talk at a time here, guys. I used to race for the Austin Healey factory team in my youth, and so I liked sports cars. But beyond that, I really have not much use for cars. They're just transportation to get you one place to another.
Where were you born?
I was born in Cleveland, Ohio, and moved to a little town called Painesville, Painesville, when I was about, I guess, 3 or 4 years old.
What year was that, Harlan?
That was 1934. You may have heard of it. It was in all the papers.
Yeah.
Do you ever know Gugliardi at all?
Would you say that again, please?
Gugliardi, the famous ghoul expert from Cleveland.
Gugliardi?
He had a TV show.
No,
Stay
you're
Sick.
You're talking to a guy who is 2 years shy of 60 years old, jerko. How the hell do he is?
Stay Sick was the name of his show. He loved people telling.
I ran away from Ohio when I was 13 years old.
To join the circus, or
I joined a carnival, as a matter of fact.
Really?
Yes, indeed.
Wow.
Listen, hold on 1 second. Just talk among yourselves for a second while I get rid of this imbecile who keeps ringing me back on this phone.
All right.
That took care of that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. It was probably someone calling to offer me vast sums of money.
Yeah, or like some kitchen products or something like this.
Nah, I don't get much of that.
Do you live in a house, Holland?
Do I what?
Do you live in a house?
No, we live in a cave here in Los Angeles.
Well, that's the standard city of angels living, I guess. But
Your wealth income must have generated enough for you to live in a house. That's great.
My wealth is so vast that I could in fact own small countries if I but chose.
Some like L. Ron Hubbard.
Do you believe a lot of this kind of mythology, don't you? I mean, do you also believe in the Easter Bunny?
Well, we're buying into the myth, Harlan. You see, all these pictures have been circulated around Vancouver of you in this very pensive looking pose with your sort of your hand over on your chin, kind of covering the lower portion.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that picture is about 10 years old.
Yeah, it looked old.
I have gray hair now.
Really?
Yeah, I have gray hair. I look like an old fart now.
Yeah.
Is this your first time coming to Vancouver?
Good God, no! I've been in Vancouver many times.
Really?
Yeah, I like Vancouver. I like Vancouver very much. I like particularly the gulls that come sweeping in off the bay or the harbor, whatever the hell that is.
Yeah, and deposit feces.
And eat the crackers out of your hand as you stand on the balcony of
Well, they must have that in Los Angeles, too. It's a port city. I mean, surely there must be, like, seafaring waterfowl around, you know?
Seafaring waterfowl? Yeah, sure. We're ass deep in them.
Now, do you still write...
By the way, to whom am I speaking? Who are you?
My name is A.O. Chapman, and with me is...
Nardwar.
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 Nardwar to human serviette.
I see. Your parents had a brilliant sense of humor, did they?
No, just, I could call myself Sting, or I could call myself Nardwar to human serviette.
Or Harlan. Harlan, what kind of name is Harlan? Is that English, or is it... It's sort of an odd
Harlan
name.
Harlan is actually, from what I can get, I mean, God knows why it got this way, but it's Scottish. It means from the warland.
Really?
Yes, that's what it means in the book.
It's an odd name, isn't it?
Only if you're not named Harlan.
Yeah.
For me, it's
were you bugged a lot in school for being called Harlan? I mean, that's, how kids are,
Only briefly. I'm the sort of person who is only bugged for a short period of time before I kill.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have a very, very low bullshit threshold, and it's my feeling that anyone jerks around with you, all you have to do is kill them. That's it.
If somebody were to say the name Harlan out loud, mm-hmm. Harlan Ellison, is that how you pronounce your last name?
Well, actually, Finkelstein is the way I pronounce it.
Okay. Harlan, if somebody were to say Harlan Ellison, what do you think is the first thing that would come into youngsters' minds about you? What are you known for, would you say?
Would you like an answer to that, or do you want to just continue running?
Continue. Answer, please.
It's 20 questions.
Are you guys always this hysterical, or do you sometimes take authority?
We're running off the fire of you, Harlan. You're just a wild, crazy guy.
I'm a world famous author. I'm not crazy at all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you're nice and energetic.
I'm a pillar of the community. I'm an elder statesman. I mean, you should give me a little respect, for Christ's sake. I'm old enough to be your grandfather, for Christ's sake.
You're in the house. You're down with OPP. No, my dad's actually 65.
Your dad is 65.
Yeah, mine is 72.
And my mom's 39 till she's 65.
Do they own up to being your parents, or do they just sort of, deny all knowledge?
They don't tell them. But what are you known for, would you say, Harlan?
Well, I think my most important thing is the discovery of radium.
Radium.
What part of that are you having trouble with?
Like radium hot springs and...
No, I discovered radium. Also, the raising of the Titanic, that was one of mine.
Really?
Yeah. And,
I thought some big, crazy American Texas billionaire had that in his mind, or did he steal the idea from you?
Oh, God knows. I don't, are you serious? Some idiot really wants to raise the Titanic?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, please.
I don't know. He was shoveling millions of dollars into the idea or something. One of these crazy Ross Perots that you Americans are supporting or something like this, I can't understand.
Our crazy Ross Perot. I mean, we're talking here about a nation, your nation, where the censorship laws are so bad that people flee from Canada to come to America, and you're talking
about
Ross Perot?
They all came up here to avoid the Vietnam draft.
You got guys who ban comic books. They're afraid that the Commonweal will be hurt if they have a comic book that bothers them.
Well, that's because we have all these very big brass, very aged old men in power in back rooms, and we can't do much about it. We have a Senate, an appointed Senate, unlike you.
So in other words, what
you're
saying is that Canada is exactly as fucked up as America.
Except there's not... See, my idea about this, Harlan, is that the only difference between Canada and America is when we have a... When each country has a race riot, Canadians and Americans will steal stuff, but the only difference between Canada and America is that Canadians get embarrassed after a while and they bring it all back.
That's what's happening down here, too.
They're bringing it all back?
Absolutely. People have been inundating the churches and the police stations with stuff that was stolen.
Really?
They're bringing it back in droves, for God's sake.
So how are they going to get it? Were there receipts? Well, there obviously weren't any receipts. How are they
going to get it? No, they're just saying, hey, I stole this, and people are trying to figure out where to put it back. They also arrested the guys who beat up the truck driver.
I heard about that today, yeah.
No, we'll get rid of Daryl Gates and everything. We'll be just fine again. See, the difference between race riots in America is that down here, what happens is that blacks kill Latinos, Latinos kill Koreans, Koreans kind of fight with white folks will lynch anybody. Up in Canada, you beat the shit out of the Indians. You know, it's no big deal.
Well, yeah, I mean, we have those, but it's not as we don't.
But
have
we had one thing that you didn't have, Harlan. We had the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
That's right, Harlan.
And they came in here and they made things better, so it was easier for the native people to get along with the inhabitants from Europe, whereas in the United States of America, what did you have? You just had big shootouts.
Yeah, six-gun justice. That's all.
Yeah, I got to give it to you. I mean, the Mounties have real pretty uniforms. We all admire the hell out of them.
Well, they just got changed, actually. So.
Who are some of your favorite illustrators, Harlan?
Well, I like Bruegel. I like Dolly. I like...
Bosch?
Pardon?
Hieronymus Bosch?
Oh, of course. I love Bosch.
Yeah.
Bosch was wonderful.
Yeah.
Heinrich Kley. And we're not talking about Clay. We're talking about Heinrich Kley.
Yeah.
Let's see. Who else? I like...
Rip Griffin, Grateful Dead artist.
Well, I know Rick Griffin, and he's a wonderful guy.
He's dead, isn't he?
I admire his work, but I'm not nuts about
Rick
Griffin's work.
He's dead.
What?
The Grateful Dead guy is dead.
Wait a minute. That ain't funny.
No, that's true. The Grateful Dead artist is actually dead. He died.
When did Rick Griffin die?
He died about half a year ago. I'm serious.
We're not feeding you bad news out here.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
I mean, you didn't know that? We've been getting even up in Canada.
Yeah.
A few things do manage to slip by, fellas.
Oh, sorry.
Well, sorry to break you the bad news.
How about rock and roll combos, Harlan? Have you endorsed any of those in the early days, or are you a staunch McCarthy anti-rock and roller?
I'm still dealing with Rick Griffin. Hold on for just a second. Are we still on the air?
This is all taped and recorded.
Yeah. For a later play, or is it going out live?
We'll probably play it later. Maybe edit it down. We're not sure. You know.
Can I impose any? Would you mind calling me back in about 10-15 minutes?
Sure.
Is that cool?
That's
fine.
That? No problem.
Okay, I have to sit and think about this.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Bye. Okay, let's go.
Okay, great. Let me see where we are. What's bringing you to Vancouver? What's the I know you're going to be doing some readings and stuff like that. What specifically can people expect?
When I do an evening's lecture, it usually runs a couple of hours, 2.5-3 hours, something like that, and I do a reading of usually a new piece of fiction that I've just written that hasn't been published yet, and
yeah.
The rest of it is just chat, peripatetic observation, just ruminations, the usual stuff that I do in my columns. I suppose the closest thing to it would be like what Will Rogers or Mark Twain or Lenny Bruce did.
Right.
It's just whatever's in front of my eye is what I talk about, and it usually the only rule I have is that I mustn't bore anybody.
Yeah. Do you still get a lot of people asking you about the Star Trek episode you wrote?
No, no one ever asked.
No one asked. No one ever asked.
It's in the Smithsonian now, so I don't have to be asked.
Really, it's in the Smithsonian.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, they decided to put it there for posterity.
Wow.
Joan Collins was cast so perfectly in that role.
Okay. All right.
She's beautiful. Did you get to touch or lick Joan Collins at all,
Maybe.
Harlan?
No.
No.
What are the writers? Are you a William Burroughs fan at all? Or are you?
The only Burroughs that I really like is the early stuff, his Junkie and a couple
Interzone?
Of the things he did way back in the '50s. I'm not that wild about Burroughs stuff. It's a little too random for me. And if I want that kind of stuff, I read Henry Miller.
Yeah.
Who I think does it a little bit better. No, the writers I read mostly these days are oddly enough the Latin Americans. I really enjoy Jorge Amado and Luisa Valenzuela and people like that.
How about Mordecai Richler? Have you ever indulged yourself in any of his works?
Oddly enough, I'm a big fan of... it's pronounced Richler, is it?
Richler, yeah, that's right.
Richler. But boy, has he gotten to be a conservative guy. Woo, boy. Just read the new book he just did on Quebec.
Right.
And it seemed very... old What am I trying to say? I guess very, very...
Like a ranting uncle, like a ranking, you know.
Well, like somebody who has always had the fishing rights to the pond and is now upset because other people are fishing.
Yeah.
It wasn't a book that I particularly liked, but I liked St. Urban's Horseman and Duddy Kravitz, I think, is a wonderful book. Rich was a very interesting writer. There are any number of...
He's on a book tour now as well. He's doing...
I'm sorry?
He's doing a spoken word sort of book tour now. He's out on the circuit like you will be on May 24th.
Yeah, you got to do it. It's part of paying the dues, I guess. I'd much rather sit at home.
Do you get nervous around crowds? I expect writing. I mean, writing is sort of a very personal, sort of one person against a machine typewriter, word processor.
No,
what is it?
I like crowds.
Yeah.
I like audiences. I enjoy the back and forth, but it's just the travel gets wearying. I've been doing it for so damn long that if any joy that was in air travel, for instance, has vanished long since.
Yeah, novelty wore off.
It's you know they shovel you in like a piece of meat. You have to sit there and pretend that you're really interested in hearing, you know, hollow one track of fried green tomatoes while somebody dumps their rubber chicken on you.
Yeah. How about Farley Mowat? Have you ever read any of his works?
I read Farley Mowat years ago.
He's still banned from the USA.
Yeah.
Is he really? Oh, because of the political thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're still doing that for a while. I mean, they would have continued to keep Garcia Marquez out if a whole bunch of people hadn't screamed and yelled. I could never understand why they objected to Farley Mowat. My God, of all the writers, he's one of the least, you know, political in that respect. I don't understand. They do a lot of stupid things. One of the great, I mean, I've said maybe three or four important things in my life, you know, if that. But the only one I think that'll last is the two most common elements in the universe are hydrogen and stupidity.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why people do things like that, I guess governments are like a snake without a head. They don't really know what they're doing most of the time.
Tell me about the CBC series Space Lost.
Star Lost.
Star Lost, pardon me. Star Lost,
yeah,
that's right, yeah.
Well, that was a nightmare.
That was, yeah, how did that the odd got canceled, I think.
Not too soon for me.
Not too soon, yeah, well, really.
I never actually saw the series. I never looked at one of them.
Really?
Yeah, it was much too painful.
So it was just like a one-time, let's get the money and run affair for you, or was it, you know, what happened?
No, it wasn't anything like that at all. Not even remotely.
Really?
What it was something that I put a lot of effort into and a lot of creativity into, and it was sold out from under me by 20th Century Fox, and they sold it to Canada instead of the BBC, and we wound up with a lot of greedy Canadian businessmen who acted just like a greedy American businessman, and they all sort of lockstepped their way into a really ugly and awful series, and it was very painful for me because it was something that I had created and that I owned, and it came out like a thalidomide baby. So no, it wasn't take the money and run. It was an unpleasant experience. We did a book about it that you may... Have you guys ever actually read anything I've written? Either one of you?
I've only read little excerpts from like Dangerous Visions and stuff like that. I'm not a huge devotee.
Of what?
Of all your readings, because I don't have them. I haven't come across them enough, I guess.
Okay, well then this could all be hot air. I could have no talent at all, right?
Well, yeah, that's beauty is in the mind of the beholder, so to speak.
What do you think of Space 1999? Did you like that series at all?
You're a very strange little fellow, aren't you? You keep asking these really, how do I put it politely, a dipshit, ignorant, stupid questions.
Well, I'm not wearing a human serviette.
Ah, yeah. I'll be real candid with you guys.
Yeah.
I'm coming up to do a gig, and they say, will you give interviews? I said, absolutely, because I don't want these guys to go into the toilet. I want them to make money out of it. But I find interviews basically idiotic to begin with.
Yeah.
And when I can maybe say something of any consequence, that kind of makes it tolerable. But when I got to answer questions to, you know, to the little guy there, to people like us,
kind
of waste all of our time. Not to mention your listeners, who I presume have a little more intelligence than that.
Well, just wondering. We just wondered if you heard of Space 1999, but because we really enjoyed it, because it had the bald guy in it, and the new Star Trek: The Next Generation has a bald guy in it too.
It's been terrific talking to you guys. Have a wonderful afternoon, and don't fall into any large holes or get hit by any great heavy objects. I think that's probably where we
are. Oh, AO has one last question for you.
I think we're done.
Oh, Harlan, can we ask you one last
question?
One more, perhaps?
I think we're done. Take care of yourself.
One thing for our listeners.
Well, and don't hurt anybody.
One thing for our listeners.